There was a guy that played for the Buffalo Bills. His name was Justin Armour. And he was a rookie, and his teammates invited him to a preseason party. And when he got there, this is what he says. He says, there were gorgeous women everywhere, offering free sex to any of the guys who wanted it. It was the most eye-opening experience I ever had. I had heard about things like this, but I was so naive. He said, I got out of there as fast as I could. He went on to say that he had a commitment to saving sex for marriage. And he said, I felt that I had to run from the temptation. As soon as he got out, he called his accountability partner, whose name was Steve. And Steve was able to talk him through that situation. And this is what Justin concludes. You need someone to hold you accountable for walking with Christ. Steve does that for me. He knows everything about my life, good and bad, and there's nothing he won't hold me accountable for.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Layman's Bible Institute, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. We thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of Accountability. You can't escape it. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Accountability. You can't escape it.
And then show me how I can be held accountable. I can see why only 5% of people in the church have said that they have seen accountability. And this is the reason why right here. You want to know why? This is the reason why right here. Because when you start confronting people, they get upset, they get angry, they don't think they've done anything wrong, and then they leave. So that's why the church, I'll be honest with you, I think that's why the church is reluctant to confront people and hold people accountable. Shame on us. Shame on us. I heard the story about Chuck Swindoll, that he was driving and he ran through a red light. And some of the members of his church saw him. They recognized his car and they saw him. And so they called him out to breakfast to hold him accountable. And Chuck got wind of why they had called him to breakfast, and he came with a shirt that said, guilty as charged. And then he turned the shirt over, and on the other side, it said, he who is without sin, let him cast the first stone. And Chuck Swindoll says this. He says, every time that I am tempted to run a light, this incident comes to haunt me, which is one of the many benefits of accountability. Amen. See, he had a teachable spirit. Chuck Swindoll had a teachable spirit. He's a pastor. Right? And he had a teachable spirit. From his members, he received what they had to say. And so what's your response? If somebody was to come to you right now on something that's in your life, whether it's we can go back and say, let me see if I can remember, God, government, job, family, or the church. If somebody came back and pointed out something in one of those areas and said that you need to address it, you need to deal with it, what would be your response? No, why, or how? What are some barriers to accountability? And I thought about this long and hard. See, that's one of the advantages of pastoring in one place for 22 years. You know, you just think back to all the situations that you've dealt with, and you can come up with these answers, right? People say, where do you get these answers from? You know, I just pray and I think back over to what I've been dealing with for 22 years, all right? And then I write them down here. So hopefully none of you showed up in these categories. What are some barriers to accountability? Well, first of all, people don't want to hold others accountable because it pushes them beyond their comfort zone. It is not in most people's nature to confront an individual. Now, this is not on the screen, but this is in your notes, and that is, and I don't expect to get any amens on this, people would rather gossip than confront. My. People would rather gossip than confront. Why? Because it's not in our nature to confront. When we confront, it pushes us out of our comfort zone. Yeah, you know, I mean, that's not something that's easy to do, to sit down with another person and confront them on an issue. Man, that's very uncomfortable. It's very unnatural. You know, what is our natural tendency? Is to, you know, talk, joke, laugh, have a good time. You know, that's what we enjoy doing. That's our comfort zone. But when we are pushed outside of our comfort zone, what we are saying is that I don't want to be held accountable because it makes me uncomfortable to confront people. So I go back to, that's why 5% of people in the church have not seen accountability manifested. Number two, saints don't want to hold other saints accountable because they feel like that's judging them. And the Bible says don't judge. So, well, you know, I don't want to judge anybody, so I'm not going to hold them accountable. You know, that's the attitude of some folk. Next, many of God's people don't want to be held accountable because they have private lives and they don't want anyone to get in their business. So people say, well, you know, I don't want anybody else in my business. Let me handle my business. So they, you know, it's almost like, I guarantee you, 5%, right? I keep harping on this 5%, right? 5% say they have it. Let me tell you, the other 95%, you know what they're doing? Don't confront me. Don't confront me. Don't get in my business. That's why it's only 5%. Because most people don't want other people in their business. So just leave it alone. Put the gun down and step away. Put the gun of accountability down and just step away from it. Just ease away from it. All right? Don't mess with me. I mean, that's that. Don't mess with me. Don't come to me. Another barrier to accountability is some saints don't want to hold others accountable because of the sin in their lives. And I've seen that more often than not. Well, you know, how can I judge somebody else? Or how can I hold somebody else to account when I got issues in my life myself? So this is what the church, this lets us know that, and I'm not necessarily saying Bethany, but this lets us know that the church is sick. The church is sick. The church of Jesus Christ has a sickness in it. And one of the sicknesses is this lack of ability to hold people accountable. You know, I've been in situations where, you know, you try to hold people accountable, and I had somebody stand up and say, I'm not going to be accountable to anybody. Now, this church members, right, that love the Lord, that's spending time with God. Now, again, this is why I say that the church is sick. Because this is a part, if you go back and study the early church, go back and look at the early church. Read the book of Acts. And tell me how many times you see confrontation in the book of Acts. You look at Ananias and Sapphira right there. If that wasn't confrontation, I don't know what was. If that wasn't accountability, I don't know what was. Where God struck them dead. You move on in the book of Acts, and you see how Paul and Barnabas got into it. A confrontation, accountability. So we need to pray. And you know, it's very hard for me to preach this message because I know I run the risk of people saying, well, you know, then why be a part of church if this is the issue? I think that we need to teach this so that we can begin to deal with our own hearts. And so that, you know, when we come to a place, if somebody has to step to us, that we would realize that they're doing it in love and they're doing it trying to help us, not to condemn us, not to shoot us down, but when we are confronted, hopefully it helps us to get better. Now, as I thought about which direction to take this message, I thought about, well, you know, maybe what some folk need is an accountability partner. And what is an accountability partner? It's somebody that holds another person to the expectations or the standards. All right? that this is a person that holds you accountable. Now, on your job, your boss is your accountability partner, right? You got an accountability partner on your job. Lord, show me the accountability partner on my job. You don't even need to pray about it. You don't even need to pray about it. You already got one. That's your boss. He's your accountability partner. Because what's he going to do? He's going to hold you to the standard and the expectation. But there may be other areas in life. Like this guy in the video. You know, he needed somebody to hold him accountable because he was just picking up anything from the store, especially the pornographic magazine. So he needed to be accountable. He needed accountability in his life. Somebody to hold him to the expectation or the standard. Well, what is the standard in the Word of God? The standard in the Word of God is live a pure life. All right? So somebody needed to bring him back to the standard. He got off the standard. Somebody needed to bring him back to the standard. There was a guy that played for the Buffalo Bills. His name was Justin Armour. And he was a rookie, and his teammates invited him to a preseason party. And when he got there, this is what he says. He says, there were gorgeous women everywhere, offering free sex to any of the guys who wanted it. It was the most eye-opening experience I ever had. I had heard about things like this, but I was so naive, he said, I got out of there as fast as I could. He went on to say that he had a commitment to saving sex for marriage, and he said, I felt that I had to run from the temptation. As soon as he got out, he called his accountability partner, whose name was Steve, and Steve was able to talk him through that situation. And this is what Justin concludes. You need someone to hold you accountable for walking with Christ. Steve does that for me. He knows everything about my life, good and bad, and there's nothing he won't hold me accountable for. See, most of us don't want that. We don't want that. Again, why don't we want it? I'm going to tell you exactly why. Most of us don't want it. Going back to barriers to accountability, number three, or bullet point three, I don't want anybody in my business. Yeah, that's right. What are some benefits of an accountability partner? Someone to hold you to the standard and the expectation. That if you have an accountability partner, you have somebody to hold you accountable. What is the standard? What is the expectation? And somebody is holding you accountable to that. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man's countenance sharpens another. See, I want somebody. See, the problem is that most of us are wood. And if we get with somebody that's iron, they're going to chip us all up. But see, if I'm desiring to be iron, if it's my goal to be iron, then I want somebody else who's iron. And I want to be able to go to that individual, and I want them to bring their iron on my iron, and us sharpen each other. And for them to be able to come to me and say, Glaze, look, there's something in your life, man, that's not right. You need to address it. You need to get it straight. And instead of me wimping out, going in the corner, crying somewhere, I buckle up and say, yeah, sharpen it up, baby. Make me a little bit sharper. Toughen me up. I'm iron, and I want to become sharper. You see, that's what an accountability partner will do. Someone to confront sinful behavior. Proverbs 27:6. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. That if I've got somebody who will confront sinful behavior in my life, that's what I need. I need somebody that will get in my face, that if I'm living in sin, and confront me about it. We don't want that. See, this is a hard message. I'm telling you right now, this is a hard message, and people don't want to hear it. Y'all were shouting last week when I preached about trusting God, right? We was all shouting. Now we're talking about being accountable to that God that we talked about trusting. That's a different story. someone to assist us in the restoration process. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. That whenever we slide away from the standard or the expectation, Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2 says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness." That if I have an accountability partner and I fall, that there's somebody there to help me walk through the restoration process. An accountability partner is someone who will hear my struggles. James chapter 5 and verse 16. James chapter 5 and verse 16. That there's somebody there who will hear my struggles. In James 5, 16, it says, "Confess your faults one to another." So I got somebody to hear. Let me go back. Read what this guy from the Buffalo Bills said. "You need someone to hold you accountable for walking with Christ. Steve does that for me. He knows everything about my life, good and bad, and there's nothing he won't hold me accountable for." See, sometimes we struggle, and we need to be able to get with somebody and tell the other person, "Man, this is what I'm struggling with." And that we, in that, we have somebody to listen. That when we have an accountability partner, we have somebody to listen to our struggles. Next, somebody to encourage us in times of temptation. That when we are tempted, if you are tempted, is there somebody that you can call and say, "Look, I need you to talk to me now. Talk me through this thing. You know, this temptation is strong. It's getting me. You know, it's wearing me down." You know, you ever hear that song, "Jimmy Mac? Jimmy, hey, Jimmy, when are you coming back?" What did she say? "There's this guy, he keeps talking to me, Jimmy. He's wearing me down. You better hurry up and come on back home." Right? "Jimmy? Hey, Jimmy Mac, when are you coming back?" You know? So sometimes when sometimes, man, when it's on you, you need somebody to call. You need Jimmy Mac. "Come on back, brother. Come on back. Help me out. I'm getting weak. I'm getting worn down." Encouragement in the times of temptation. And somebody to pray with you in every situation. James chapter 5, verse 16 says, "Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much." That if you've got an accountability partner, you've got somebody to pray with you. Now, as I conclude the message for today, I found this, Gene Getz, and we were doing a series here with the men from a video book series that he put together, and he talks about accountability. Now, I'll say this, that you could probably go online and get all type of accountability questions. It all depends what you're looking for. I've seen some that were as many as 30 questions long. All right, so you could find, there's a lot of stuff out there. But here goes 10, just to get us started. Accountability questions. And see, here's where most people get into trouble, is they don't have anybody asking them these questions. These are the hard questions. When was the last time somebody asked you these questions? How often did you meet with God this week? What has God been saying to you through His Word this week? What sins in your personal or business life did you experience this week that need confession? Are you giving to the Lord's work regularly and proportionately as God has blessed you? What percentage did you give last month? Number 5, what movies did you see this past week? Do you feel good about viewing these movies? What about the internet? Would you be able to tell your fellow Christians in your church what you have seen without being embarrassed? Yeah, because they've seen the same thing. No, just kidding. No, I'm just kidding. How did you influence your marriage and family this week? Wow, this is a deep one right here. How positively? How negatively? What could you do to improve? Let's park there for a second. All right, let's park there. Let's not run by that. How did you influence your marriage and your family this past week? You think about that for a minute. Think about that for a minute. How positively or how negatively? And what could you do to improve? Did you pray for us this week? What challenges or struggles are weighing on your mind? What lives did you influence for Christ this week? And number 10, did you just lie to me? See, this is very basic. I'm going to be honest, this is very basic. I've seen some stuff. I mean, it gets very graphic. You know, have you viewed pornography in the last week? You know, I mean, this stuff gets some of these, which is good, because there's some people, they need to have it raw. They need to get it raw. But this right here is something that is very basic, and to ask the question, let me ask you the question. Have you been confronted with anything like this over the last month? Has anybody, now you might say, well, yeah, I got a prayer partner, I can pray. No, I'm not talking about that. I mean, has anybody confronted you with these things in the last month? And if we took a show of hands, which I'm not going to do, it would probably stagger the imagination to think that very few people, once again, I'm talking about, and I'm not talking about just one of them. I'm talking about all these things. You figure if you were being confronted with these things every week, if there was somebody getting in your face every week with these issues right here, man, you're like, just think how tight your walk with Christ would be. You know, or you would become the biggest liar in the world. Or you would become, you probably say, well, look, I don't want to do this, man, because I'm not doing half the stuff anyways. So I don't want to do it anymore. Instead of rising up to the challenge. And saying, yeah, I can do this. How often did you meet with God this week? You know what? I met with God 5 times. I was shooting for 7, but you know what? I had 5 times where I came into the presence of the Lord, and I read his word, and I heard from him. You see, if nobody's asking you that, well, I don't even feel convicted. I can just roll on about my merry way, all right? What sins did you commit this last week? We don't want to deal with that. I don't want to tell anybody that. I don't tell anybody what sins I committed last week. That's none of their business. See, and that's the very attitude. That's the very attitude that's getting a whole lot of folk in trouble. That's why we have people falling all the time. Young people, look at the young people that are falling. Not only the young people, but look at the old people that are falling. Why? Because nobody is confronting them about the issues in their life. And they're just floating on their merry way. See, when you're confronted, you're going to do one thing or the other. Either you're going to man up or woman up, or you're going to run. What are you going to do, one or the other? Man up, woman up, or run? So we need to look at this issue and consider it. I don't know, again, I don't know who asked me to preach this, but you probably wouldn't ask me for all that. So I ask you the question. Who are you accountable? Who are you accountable?
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Envy, Subduing the Green-Eyed Monster. If you would like to request an audio copy or the notes of today's message, Accountability, You Can't Escape It, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Accountability, You Can't Escape It. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Accountability, You Can't Escape It. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 7 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our entire volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.